everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games, making games, and saving the whales, brought to you by Oh A Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of Oh A Rock Studios.
I'm Michael Gray. Do I have an official job title at Oh A Rock Studios yet?
I think we've been talking about this for months now, and I don't think you. I mean, honestly, I completely made up head boy, so you're completely, as long as you, the title you make up isn't higher ranking than head boy, you can do whatever you want.
I'm a contract worker. I will be receiving the 1099 miscellaneous.
Oh yeah,
you
I have to
until,
do that, don't
you
I?
You have until January 31st to send it.
Oh crap, really? Okay, hey, I guess I know what I'm doing on Monday. Thanks for letting me know. Let me check my calendar real quick and write that down.
I think that's the official date. I'm not entirely sure.
That's hilarious. Well, good thing you let me know, because I wasn't going to do it until February.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, businesses have until, like, the 31st to send out a W-2. I don't know what the rules are for a 1099 miss. Hmm.
Well, if I can get it done Monday or Tuesday, it should get to you in time. This is fun.
It's okay. You know, I've got... You've got a couple of extra weeks anyway.
You're not going to sue me if I mess it up?
No.
All right, well, thank you. So what's up? How you doing? You have a new baby now.
I do have a new baby, and I think as I've kind of indicated, it's like, oh man, this IRS job is getting kind of heavy. Tax day starts Monday, actually. Or is it Sunday or whatever? That's when people can start filling out taxes for the year, and so I'm going to
be
hitting...
My wife just got her W-2 in the mail.
Yeah, so I'm going to be hitting the phones for real, and it's going to be interesting.
Are you allowed to tell us what you do? Like, do you offer? Is it like a support line for people who need help? Or
I work the refund line, and yeah, it's basically a customer service support line.
Cool.
And you know, I guess I probably shouldn't go into any more detail than that. Other than I'm working for the IRS, I'm working with refunds.
That's cool. Hey, you have a grown-up job. That's more than I can say.
So. I know, it's fantastic. So, yeah, I have a new baby, and that's actually somewhat related to some of the podcast topics we were talking about, because what happened? Daniel Castro, a friend of ours, challenged me to a baby competition or something.
Well, yeah, we had to see I guess Game Cola adjacent at this point, because you're not really on the Game Cola staff anymore, are you?
No, not really.
But see, who in the Game Cola family has the cutest baby?
Mm-hmm. And so Paul said we need to have a dating sim with babies now.
I did not say dating sim. I did not say dating sim.
I'd better check this out. What did you say then?
I think I said visual novel.
Visual novel. Okay, I think you're changing it afterwards. Because
yeah.
So what I did was I wrote a little spec for, it's like, how could we have a dating sim with a baby? I don't know how that works.
The idea is extremely upsetting.
And it ended up being upsetting, but it is fun. Basically, I just wrote like a fairy tale story. Basically, it's sort of like Brave, except instead of being turned into a bear, she gets turned into a baby.
Yeah, no, I'll admit it was a pretty cute story until it got to the... end, I guess, when you realized what the baby had to do.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, if this is a dating sim, and it's a princess, love's first kiss will undo the spell, and then it's like, wait a minute, babies can't actually do that, they can't. Actually, Rosie's just still, she hasn't quite figured out how to smile yet, but her mouth muscles are to the point where she can stretch her mouth sideways, I guess. Like, open her mouth wider. And so, it would physically be impossible to have, like, kissing in a love's first kiss in a baby dating sim.
No baby kissing.
So I tried rewriting it a little bit. I don't think I sent you the rewrite. I think we just went back and forth on it.
Yeah, I think the last we were just kind of throwing around ideas for a baby visual novel. Perhaps without the dating elements.
Yeah, so what I did was I had the mom suggest, I love her, I can give her love's first kiss and stuff.
Okay, that's not bad.
I don't know. So, off-the-wall visual novels, I guess. I guess Cap President has already won, but I think you mentioned something. I just want to hear about this basically a cow game.
Oh, jeez. Well, that one wasn't a dating sim. I've been throwing that idea at the wall for years and years at this point. Like, I think I actually even mentioned it in Game Cola, which I haven't written for them for 3 or 4 years at this point, so I should tell you how old the idea is. But no, I wanted to do a classic retro-style point-and-click adventure game starring a cow who is not really special in any way, who can pretty much just do cow things. So I want to have, like, the classic verb menu at the bottom of the screen that a lot of LucasArts games had with, you know, they would have walk, pick up, talk, push, pull, stuff like that. But I wanted them to be cow-themed, so it would be like bite, moo, kick. And my favorite one, which would be utter, which would be the cow having the ability to and this is, of course, stretching the bounds of cow biology somewhat, but the ability to produce milk at will. Which I just sounds like a fantastic skill for an adventure game, I think.
I think it would work. It would work. Okay, and I have your actual tweet here. It says, game idea, visual novel starring babies, and that was in all caps. Okay.
Visual novel.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why I was thinking when I was doing the baby, writing up the baby game, it's like, oh, this would be good as an adventure game. It's like, wait, isn't that like the King's Quest, though? They have princes and princesses, having never played a King's Quest game.
they don't generally star babies, so there is that.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoa, wait, didn't Paul just get finished making an awesome game, which is sort of like Prince and Princess, I don't know, it was...
Adjacent. I mean, there's royalty is involved, we'll say.
Yeah, I know there was a castle, and I always thought that, having not played the game, I'm trying to remember what the female character's name is.
Oh, Lily.
I always thought she was a princess, just because she was dressed all fancy, and there was a castle. I'm sorry, I'm making assumptions.
If you want to find out, you'll have to play the game. Actually, everyone should. I'm not going to give away any numbers, but Cat President sold way better than that game did, unfortunately.
Yeah, I keep meaning to buy it, but I've got no free time now. Hey, I did one video walkthrough in the past 3 weeks.
Well, that was something I was going to... I'm thankful that you were able to make time for the podcast. I wasn't sure if you were going to be able to, with a one-month-old in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I have no baby experience whatsoever, but my understanding is that they generally take up a lot of your time, so I was actually kind of wondering how that was working for you, juggling baby time with your grown-up job and also doing the game development stuff on the side. Like, how's that working out for you so far?
So at most, the baby is going to sleep 3 to 4 hours in a row. So that's basically why babies take a lot of time, is because, well, they can't sleep that long because they will either need food or they'll need to be changed or walked around or entertained or, you know, something, some sort of combination. And I was actually thinking that could be a good video game challenge or, you know, big moral dilemma. It's like, okay, I know the baby pooped her diaper. It's like, do I change the diaper now? And that would require waking her up and moving her, and she's going to wake up, and then she won't go back to sleep. It's like, or do I not change the diaper and risk having her get diaper rash, and then she'll be crying even more? That probably is how the visual novel about babies is going to go.
Oh, that would be interesting. So wait, would you, like, play as a grown-up or one of the parents in, like, the opening scene or something, or...?
Because
you ultimately would play as the baby, is my understanding, or as a baby.
Yeah, so what we've got, you're just still kicking around ideas. Let me respond to the ideas you sent. Anything where a person turns into a baby and has to find a way to live out their day-to-day life as a baby would probably be funny.
It's totally true, though. They're babies, they're really small, they can't do anything.
Isn't that like a movie? It's like Big, the movie Big, except the opposite.
Yeah, okay.
But I think the closest is something like Freaky Friday, where the mom and the daughter trade bodies.
Dad switches place with the baby. Dad switches place with the baby, and dad's body has the baby's brain in it.
Oh, no!
Yes! No, wait. do you switch between the two characters, though, where you have to, like, play as the baby trying to control the dad's body? Oh, wait. That would be weird. Oh, man.
No, I mean, I think that was one of your ideas, where you switch off between, like, the baby and the witch, if we go with the fairy tale theme.
That's right, yeah. It was just, I mean, because you had mentioned, not on the podcast, but in the email, making a game where you have a character that can cast magic spells as just, you know, a gameplay mechanic. And if we already have a witch character in this game, maybe that would be a way to do something like that. I don't know exactly what the witch would be doing or what the witch's goals would be, though, because it kind of seems like after the beginning of the story, when the witch has turned the princess into a baby, like the witch is kind of done. So we'd have to figure out what the witch's goal would be.
What the witch's goal would be is witch is going back to witch country and checking with the witch council, I guess. Or, you know, it's just like going back home to where all the witches are, witch's island or whatever. It's like, hey guys, I might have turned the princess into a baby. Does anybody know a way to reverse this spell?
I'm picturing her like Harry Potter going in front of the Wizengamot for casting spells poorly. I wonder if that's, like, she goes in front of the witches, you know, yeah, like the witches' council, the witches' judicial system.
Write that idea down. I like that.
Yeah, so that would be fun, that we'd have, like, the baby doing the visual novel portion of the game, and then the witch doing, like, some sort of, I shouldn't say this, but, like, because we're already working on a lawyer game, but mm-hmm. The witch doing her own kind of Phoenix Wright segments where maybe, instead of playing the prosecution or the defendant, she's playing as the person being the accused.
Well, here's a random question, and I'm probably sure the answer is no, but would it be possible for us to do something like the baby's segment is all visual novel, and then the witch's segment is all adventure game novel?
Impossible. So the software we use for visual novels is RenPy, and then I use Adventure Game Studio for adventure games, and I do not think there's a way I could, like, combine the two. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be figuring out adventure game mechanics in RenPy or visual novel mechanics in AGS, which probably isn't impossible, but not something I know how to do right now, but for the right idea, I could at least look into it.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm such a bad person rereading your email here. There's a third paragraph about adventure games. Yeah, so let me see. You say adventure game with magic, something like The Legend of the Crystal Valley. I haven't heard of that.
No one has ever heard of this game. I think I got it at a yard sale.
Okay, so let me see if I can pull up the game that I was randomly thinking of, which, again, nobody has heard of. Did I actually tell you the name of the game?
I don't think you did. You said it was based on something, right?
Unfinished Tales Illicit Love, which is based on Thumbelina.
Illicit Love?
I know, right?
How is that a Thumbelina game?
I don't know. I don't think the title really fits.
It sounds like an upsetting Japanese game.
It's an okay game. Basically what happens is that I forget. Something bad happens to the prince and Thumbelina has to do stuff in order to save him. I don't know the story of Thumbelina. I feel like the game was kind of hurt by trying to do the story of Thumbelina. Let me put it this way. If I knew the story of Thumbelina, I'm sure the game would make a heck of a lot more sense why there's, like, a giant hedgehog and stuff. And pirates. There were, like, pirates on a giant hedgehog. I'm like, what? I don't know. I've never read the Thumbelina story.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Thumbelina to know if that's accurate or weird. Or both, I guess.
It could be both. But yeah, no, the bonus chapter to that game, just the first, like, 15 minutes of the bonus chapter where you play as the evil witch, it was awesome, where she's just casting magic left and right. Have you played, oh gosh, by Wajidai Games, the Wizard of Oz one.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, no, I haven't played it. I remember reading your review way back in the day.
Yeah, there's a magic mechanic to that, which is really, I'd say simplified, though. Because basically, the game is open-ended, but the magic segments are not, if that makes sense. So, like, you know, you can either go to the northern part or the southern part of the country, and those are basically their own separate adventures. So the magic spells you learn in the northern part never get used anywhere else, and the spells learn in the southern part never get used anywhere else. So it's basically like two different self-contained little adventures there. I don't know. I always thought it was Stray.
So the way I was picturing it would be, you know how adventure games have inventories, right? Like inventory screens.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of picturing the inventory screen, you know, all the items in the middle, and then maybe like the bottom row would have just individual icons for each of the individual spells you can cast. So if like doing it that way, it would work. It would be super easy to code because I could just code the magic spells as inventory items, basically. And you could use them exactly the same. Go into inventory, click on the spell, exit, and then click on the thing you want to use the spell on. That would be pretty simple to do, actually.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the Wizard of Oz game does it.
Yeah, I already forgot the name of the game I
Crystal
talked about.
Crystal Valley? Legend of the Crystal
it's
Valley.
So generic sounding. So this is kind of a sidebar, but I think the reason I liked that game so much is that it was like, it was just really weird, and it was really weirdly translated, so every line was just like, I guess comedic, but also mostly awkward, and it just kind of made me laugh the whole time I was playing it. I don't think it's, like, even available anywhere. When I was emailing you about it, I was trying to find a link so I could share it, and, like, it's, you know, it's not on Steam, it's not on GOG, it's not on any of those websites. So, I'm not sure how anyone could even play it at this point.
Well, I mean, come on, that sounds better than Unfinished Tales Illicit Love.
I mean, if I was just going by names alone, I would probably click on Illicit Love better before I would click on Legend of Crystal Valley. I can't, like, I'm looking at the name and I can't remember it. That's how generic that name is. Yeah, anyway.
Anyway, yeah, ideas. We'll just kick some back and forth and figure out anything else.
But yeah, I mean, because that was one of the ideas you brought up too, was the adventure game starring the baby who can only do baby things, and that's what made me think of basically a cow, because I kind of feel like if we do an adventure game about a baby who can only do baby things, I feel like that then if I want to go and do basically a cow later, like it would seem like I'm ripping myself off. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to do basically a cow. I have a gigantic like outline all written out, and I started working on a script, but you know, I kind of stopped because I can't draw. That's why.
Well, I did my drawing thing of the cow that actually ended up pretty good.
That was a pretty good cow. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So that was something. Maybe we should think about is. I don't think we should, if we're going to do a point and click adventure game, I don't think we should launch into a big project first, but
mm-hmm.
maybe we could try to put together, you know, like I mentioned in the email, like a small, like one or two room game, like the My Nigerian Prince of adventure games for us.
Yeah. So that was the paragraph of your email, which I just noticed just now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that makes it great. Cause I've played adventure games like those, just one or two rooms.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any short adventure game things you want to... any short adventure game ideas you wanted to throw out there besides baby stuff?
All I had was like the basic premise of a game like based on one of those real-life room escape things. Have mm-hmm. you ever done one of those? I've talked about it a lot.
I've never done one, actually.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Portland has to have these.
It's got Portland it's has got to have like 10 of them, these. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean they're cool. Like, you know, someone locks you in a room or sometimes a series of rooms and you have to, you know, examine your environment and pick up clues and figure out how to open up locks and treasure chests and stuff like that. We just did a Harry Potter themed one in Ithaca here and it was really cool. So, I mean, just something like that where you're playing a video game of someone doing a room escape would be, like, really weirdly meta, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think room escapes are kind of based on adventure games to begin with. But then maybe doing something like you think you're in a room escape, but then it turns out that you're actually, like, literally locked in a room. And there's dangerous stuff happening. Like, I don't know.
The worst high school reunion ever comes back to life.
Oh, no. That could work. Well, yeah, because actually that's how a lot of these room escapes kind of advertise themselves, is that they're for reunions or they're for... A lot of them are for, like, team-building exercises. So we could, you know, drop like a bunch of corporate people who have never, you know, have no experience with this sort of thing into one of these and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or yeah, people in their high school reunion. But yeah, so I think if we did want to pursue this idea, which we don't have to, like I said, it's just kind of off the top of my head, but maybe you could check out one of your room escapes in Portland to see what they're all about. I mean, you should anyway, because they're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just I would need a group to go with, I think.
Yeah, well, so the one Lizzo and I did in Connecticut, they actually let you do it with only two people.
Hmm.
We lost, but it was fun.
Interesting. But yeah, anyway, okay. Yeah. Okay, so do we have any other, I mean, those are, like, basic ideas. It was weird, I was on the bus the other day, you know, going to work. It's like, wait, I'm on the bus going to work and I'm not writing something. This feels wrong. This is the first time I've done it in, like, 2 months. And so I actually started kicking out things for, gosh, I think the only game I had was Francie Drew and the Speed Dating Sham.
Oh, man, we are never going to get caught up in all these scripts.
I know, right? Oh, but I finished, let's talk about Francie Drew 2, I suppose. Because
yes,
that's sort
yeah,
of what
yeah,
inspired
yeah.
me to start writing again on Francie Drew and the Speed Dating Sham, or at least, you know, doing a little bit of the story. I have no idea what the main story is. I basically just want to do a parody of Nancy Drew games 1 and 3. It's like, because the second game is basically a parody of the... kind of a parody of this second Nancy Drew game. Kind of not. It's got the same basic idea where there's a soap opera, whatever you call it, soap opera set. They're filming a soap opera, and a lot of the game takes place on that. So I think past that, it's not too much into parody territory, but I thought it was nice setup for a visual novel, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game works pretty well.
Yeah, nice location, coming up with cool puzzles. So the way I did that was, I think with some of the puzzles, didn't I just go on Facebook and just ask, hey, what could be a puzzle I would have with an actor in a soap opera? And somebody suggested, maybe he's really bad with computers.
Oh my god, that puzzle is the best part. It's my favorite thing
I
in
know,
the whole
so
game.
Thank you, random person on Facebook, for that idea, because it works so well.
I mean, the way you wrote it, like, it sounds so much like me giving tech support to my mom over the phone. It's so good. Oh, but anyway, yeah, that's... oh, it's so good. I can't wait for people to play that.
Yeah, so, no, it's just interesting playing through the game, seeing what puzzles I like, because I like that puzzle the most. I also like the Hidden Objects Challenge, just because it's so weird and random. I love it. And I don't know, it's like all the puzzles I like are the puzzles that are at the very end of the game, and none of the ones at the beginning.
Oh, everyone is going to love the math puzzle.
Oh, that is going...
that's going to be everyone's favorite.
That is going to be like...
My most recent time testing it had been a few months since I had played the game last, and I couldn't solve the stupid math puzzle. It took me like 10 minutes to get past that scene because I was like misreading one of the lines in the document.
Yeah.
So, if the person who coded this puzzle, it still struggles with it. Like, I can't even imagine. Oh, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I feel like we need to have a bypass for that, like with the other puzzle in the first game, which was just...
oh, that's right, we did do that. You know, like some sort of I hate math button. Get me out of here.
That would be great. Yeah, but then we can't have the death sequence for that particular puzzle if Francie fails it.
I forgot that was there.
I guess, yeah, we should probably add that. At least add a skip, I think, for that particular puzzle. I don't think any of the other puzzles in the game are so hard that people would have problems with them.
No, I mean, yeah, well, I guess we'll find out when we get around to testing the game. We'll be able to find out if there's anything people are particularly struggling with. But I imagine it's going to be that, especially since the way I coded it. And thankfully, this is in giant letters on the thing, so you can't miss it, but you have to... have the dollar signs and the decimal points in all the right places, too.
Aw, you can't reprogram it the other way around, or is that just impossible?
It's not... well, it already says on the form that it has to be that way, and it will be rejected if you don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We put that, like, rewrote that into the puzzle. I guess it's not impossible, but, you know, I already had to account for, like, what was it, three different solutions to the puzzle?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two or three answers per field. So if we account for whether the person has the dollar sign or not, it would double it would add, you know, like a million different, not a million, but enough different solutions. And honestly, I kind of like it as part of the puzzle. Like, I kind of like that that the bank is being like really pedantic about their paperwork. I think that kind of fits.
I was going to say, we could do the old school text adventure style, where all it does is check for the first three digits of your answer and doesn't check for like the final three. So all it checks is for $2, 0. It doesn't check for, you know, like, comma, $0, 0, 0. Yeah.
That's true. I guess, yeah. But I don't know if that would make a huge difference.
Then people could break the puzzle, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, my real big fear with that is that people are going to find another answer that we're not accounting for.
Yeah, no, that would...
Because I think when we started testing it, like a year ago at this point, I think I found one that we weren't accounting for. So I'm kind of afraid that other people are going to find ones we haven't figured out yet, like that.
Yeah, so we're getting pretty close to finishing the Francie Drew 2.
Oh, yeah, Francie 2 is almost done at this point, but we wanted to release it as part of a collection of other games, so we have to finish those other games, too.
Yeah, what I thought was, let me see, behind-the-scenes work with the names for the artwork. In Francie, it's literally like F1, F2, F3, F5, and mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the artwork for Trapped in a Soap Opera, where it's basically, it would be like F happy, and then F happy 2 is him being happy with his mouth closed.
I did notice that, and then it would be like F happy 2 L to indicate that they're facing left in this art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good way to do that.
Yeah, so should I, like, keep that naming convention from now on, I guess?
Yeah, it might as... I mean, as long as it's not, like, creating an undue amount of work for you.
Yeah, no, it wasn't an undue amount of work. It's
okay,
basically
then it's fine. Go for it. It's definitely easier. Like, especially if, like, for whatever reason, I need to find a different different view to put in the game, it's easier for me to say, okay, that one's the happy one, instead of going through all of them to figure out which one looks happy.
Because that's what I had to do with Francie Drew every single time. I memorized, like, some of them at one point. I'm like, okay, F4 gets used all the time, so I know what that is. But
so it'll be easier for you, too, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll have to do something like that for the pizza delivery boy who saved the world, too, because we'll have different emotions for all the photographed characters for that game.
Yeah, we need to come up with the, we're coming close to the final draft on the pizza delivery boy. So, I think the next step is basically just coming up with a list of the characters, or the list of poses and things.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that, like, we'll need a list of the characters and, like, a very general physical description, and that way, and the poses we need, and that way we can set up a little casting page for people to submit their pictures to.
Well, I
forget if we talked about that on the podcast yet. Or
I don't know, but I just got two books in the library on how to do stage makeup and stuff like that. So I've got, if I cannot figure out how to age myself 30 years, it's going to be sad, but I've also been growing out my beard, and so...
Yeah, it's because Michael will be playing two characters in this game, one a younger and one an older version of that character.
Because there's time travel. I feel like that's something I do too much in my games.
Whatever, time travel's awesome.
It is amazing, but I feel like, no, maybe not that. I think I just noticed, like, three games in a row that there's a character who pulls out a gun on the main character. Because that happens in soap opera, that happens in Francie too.
Does it happen in Francie 1 also?
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe not, no.
My Nigerian Prince? I don't know.
Oh, man, I can't remember that far back.
Yeah, could you give me a second? I need to take a break for a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for holding. I finished researching your account, and I found that your refund is actually being offset to pay all the child support you haven't been...
Oh, this is extremely upsetting. I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't... No.
No, I'm not getting... I don't think I'm getting a refund this year.
Oh, no. Well, no, you've got self-employment income. You need to have...
Yeah.
Basically, they penalize you if you're not within, like, 90% of your estimate.
My estimate? Uh-oh.
Do you make estimated tax payments? You should.
Sounds like I should be.
I can figure that out. No, no, no. I mean, yeah, no, I'm not trained on tax law, so I don't know the specifics, but there are basically two different ways they calculate how much you should estimate, estimate taxes if you're self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there are basically two different ways, and if you screw up both of them, they don't like it.
Well, I did not do estimated taxes for 2016. Up until now, most of my income was coming from my grown-up job, but now I'm just kind of a freelancer with them, and now most of my income's coming from this stuff. So,
I was surprised by how much, I mean, Cap President was way more than I was expecting.
Yeah, it's done all right.
Because all the other games we've made, like, I could actually get it. Didn't it make me like $10 all of 2015?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly. I have numbers for how much money I've earned off of each game anyway. So not the total amount that we have earned, but so for example, My Nigerian Prince, I personally have made $18.90 off of that game. Francie Drew 1, I made $47.83. So yeah, Cat President is a lot more than that.
Yeah. So I was worried that would throw off like my estimated taxes or something.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wait
yeah.
a minute, you it's like, buddy, you totally lied about how much money you expected to make this year. I was like, no, I wasn't expecting Cat President to make a lot of money.
So for our listeners, the big difference between those games and Cat President is that Cat President was released on Steam. So the lesson we learned here is that if it's not getting released on Steam, it's almost not worth releasing. So that's why what I keep talking about, the bundle of all the short games I want to do, that's why I want to release it that way instead of releasing them individually. Because individually, I don't think they're going to pass Steam Greenlight, but, you know, as a collection of short stories, I think they got a fighting chance.
I think only one or two of them. I think Francie 2 would be good individually. I think Who Am I is also good individually. I'm not sure if I like the soap opera game anymore.
Oh, no!
Now I want to write Trapped in an Anime instead.
Oh,
same premise.
Do you want me to stop working on the soap opera game?
No.
We've already finished it. It's almost done.
I don't know, the soap opera game has three different storylines. I like storyline number 2, I really like storyline number 3, I just don't know if storyline number 1 is any good at all.
Well, I haven't gotten that far in playing it yet, I've mostly just been working on the intro.
Yeah, and so, it feels like it'd be awful just to cut out storyline number 1, because it's a third of the game. It's a short game, it's only like 5 pages per storyline.
Yeah.
So I think probably what we should do is, if we send out for testing, just ask the testers, which one did you like the most? And they will be 1, 2, and 3. We'll just arrange them based on, you know, how popular they are with the testers.
So that people will play the most fun ones first?
Yeah, that was the general idea.
I like that. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think Francie 2, just like based on length alone, would have the best chance of getting through by it. It's like, because I mean, that's the sort of the main thing I look at is just how long is this game? Will people be willing to buy it by itself? And I don't know. I kind of like the collection of short stories idea too. I think that's kind of fun. And that like sets us up in the future to do similar things if we have like other weird one-off ideas that maybe can't stand on their own, but would be a cute little thing to put in a collection like this.
Like, basically a cow, or
basically a cow is a very long game. That's another reason why I haven't started making it in earnest yet. Actually, let me see real quick. Yeah, okay, it's not as long as I thought. So the design document is 12 pages, 6,000 words. Oh, not that bad.
Did I actually send you a copy of the Sherlock Holmes game, which I totally made?
No, I know. I remember seeing that it was on itch.io at some point.
Yeah, no, it's like sold no copies. So I think we can easily throw that into the Francie and Friends, into the package. It's like, hey, here's another game. It's a text adventure Sherlock Holmes game I did before I started making games in earnest, so.
Yeah, we can do that.
Not going to cost us anything. So I guess I got a question of how we would write an adventure game. Let me see, I think I had that question the last time adventure game we were talking about writing an adventure game. Is basically, do you just like make a list of here are all the things that are in the room that you can interact with? I guess you would have to.
Yeah, so I don't know how real game studios do it, but I mean that's sort of how I do it. Like I just have a big Word document. I have a paragraph that sort of describes the room that we're walking into, and then I have like basically a list of things in the room that you can interact with and what happens when you. So like I'll have talk on person underlined, and then it'll describe like what happens when you talk to that person. Or it'll be like, use crowbar on door, and then what the character says or does when you use the crowbar on the door. It's a very, very basic format. And as I said, I'm not sure. In fact, I'm pretty sure that other studios don't do it this way. Real professionals in the field don't do it this way. But it worked fine for The Beard in the Mirror, and it was pretty easy to code.
I do seem to think, with Pepper's Adventures in Time, somebody uploaded like the script for that game, and it was interesting how they formatted it. I think it was something like what you're describing, except the script they formatted is completely different from what the actual game is. So I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like different puzzles and different characters, I think, and everything. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with The Beard in the Mirror, we ran into the problem that Lizzo coded basically the first half of the game, and I coded the second half. And while she was working on the game, like, she was literally, like, writing the dialogue as she was coding it in the game engine. So there's no script for that part of the game. So the entire, like, game document that I have, game design document that I have is just for, like, the second half, just the part I designed. So when I was very, very briefly looking into maybe doing voice acting for the game, I realized that the first hurdle would just be figuring out what all the dialogue even is, just because we don't have like a handy list of it anywhere.
Yeah, so I think that would be, because I feel if we were going to make like a short, small adventure game, it would be, I don't know, not something that's dialogue heavy or story heavy. It'd be, we want to test out, can we actually make puzzles in a room and figure out how to, you know, interact with things in the puzzle, and is animation a thing? How did the animation work for a Beard and Mirror? I know that Paul is able to walk and put on sunglasses.
Yeah, I mean, Lizzo just drew it all. I don't know what sort of... She used Photoshop. She drew it basically, a lot of it pixel by pixel. I don't know. We could have her on the podcast sometime to talk about it. Oh, yeah, every individual frame. She drew every frame, yeah. So, I mean, that's why there...
Wow.
In parts, there aren't a lot of animation in the game. Like... especially towards the end, we would like I would have written in the design document like this big elaborate animation, and we'd get to that point where like, oh my god, Paul, come on, we cannot do this, and we would we would do something like, and then the game fades to black and you hear a sound effect, and then it fades back in and you see the result of what happened. So like there's a part where a tree falls in the woods, for example, so you fade to black. You hear the sound of the tree hitting the ground, and then you come back in, and the tree is on the ground. That's something I thought people were going to complain about in the game, but I haven't heard any criticism to that effect, so I guess we did it.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are a lot of professional studios that do that trick, too, so...
It's a good trick. Not to belabor this too much, but another way we could limit the number of animations in the game if we were to make one... would be to make it in the first-person perspective. That way we wouldn't have to animate the character doing anything, because you wouldn't see the character. That might make it a little easier.
Yeah, that's what a lot of, I guess, escape room puzzles. I think there are a lot of, like, really short games like that actually in existence. I know there was one I had on my phone for a while. I think people like it because it's short. It's just something I can play on my phone for, like, 10 minutes and then never have to worry about the game again. So, I mean, a lot of those are the ones I played literally just dump you into a room and say escape. And if you're lucky, you get one sentence of story for why you're trapped inside a pyramid or wherever.
Yeah, well, see, that's why, so if we wanted to do an idea like that, that's why we'd have to be pretty creative in coming up with the premise, I think, because we'd have to have a reason why people would play this game as opposed to any of the other 600 room escape style games there are. Or, I mean, we could do something that's not a room escape, too, if that's just too generic.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This reminds me of something I wanted to talk about at the end of the previous podcast, where we talked about things we want to see in video games, and I feel like I was trying to dance around this one particular game I'm playing, Immortal Love, The Price of a Miracle, and it's the sequel to Immortal Love, Letter from the Past.
The names of these games, yeah.
So Immortal Love, Letter from the Past was really amazing. It was like there's this time travel element, though. It was weird for, you don't usually have like time travel things in a game like that. But basically, you know, he had the ability to like time travel, I think like 15 seconds into the past or something like that. So basically it'd be like, okay, well, he has a puzzle getting out of a tree, and oops, if he goes down that way, he gets arrested by guards, so he travels back in time, and now the puzzle is to figure out how to drop a net on the guards so he can actually escape for real. And I don't know, it was just a really cool time travel element, and the love story was okay. It was like, I'm totally forgetting what the story is, but somebody's like, given amnesia, just basically wipe the memory of your long-lost fiancé or something like that. And what I'm trying to say is I really, really like that game. And so the second game, I like it, but it's totally not a sequel, if that makes sense. It feels like they took another game and kind of shoehorned it into the license so they could say they've got a series.
Yeah, they were like, this first game sold really well, so let's say this is a sequel to it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like that's something which happens in the like casual adventure style games that I play, where it's like we've got a series, but the games really aren't related. There's no overarching story. It's rare that like game number 3 will require you to have played games 1 and 2 and know what happened in games 1 and 2. And so that's something I don't like, because if you get a really good entry in the series, it's not going to be followed up on. But I guess on the bright side, if you get a really bad entry in the series, it's not going to be followed up on, unless it's so bad it destroys the series forever. I've been worrying about that since at the end of the last podcast. I'm like, ooh, that's what I really wanted to complain about, but I didn't want to make it sound like I hated Immortal Love Letter, the second game, because it's a great game. It's got great puzzles. Yeah. It's just not a sequel to the first game in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, in the final third of the game, the story just takes a complete U-turn, and we have to defeat like this ancient evil dragon or something. It's like, where's my time travel? Where's my love story?
This just means we should make a sequel to Cat President that has nothing to do with cats or presidents, I think.
The way we do it is, it would have none of the same characters. No, it'd have, like, one of the characters would have, like, a 2-second cameo. And it'd mostly be about, this one cat who is, having problems with their work. They're trying to get the big promotion, but the promotion was given to a dog instead. And actually, there's a riot in the streets, and our cat gets kidnapped, and he has to find a way to escape and get back to his real job. And spoiler alert, the dog is actually the villain. And there'd be like a brief mention of President Thunderpaw or something in the background. And that's sort of how it would work if we're following the script of, okay, kind of the same idea, but kind of not. It'd still be in a world where, you know, cats walk and talk and do things.
Actually, that makes me think of an idea we could have used for the DLC pseudo-sequel that we've been working around. Have you ever seen the movie Dave?
No, I haven't.
It's about a guy that looks exactly like the U.S. president. And one day, I forget what happens to the actual president, but they have to call in Dave, this just everyman, to stand in and take his place for the next, you know, couple of weeks or whatever. And we could totally do that. Just run that story just with cats, a cat that looks exactly like Thunderpaw or Frisk. Actually, Kale. Kale would be the one we would do that with, since yeah. Kale's whole storyline was that no one can tell the difference between him and the other cats.
That would be great. Yeah, no, I think it's whatever that one fairy tale story is with a series with the bad guy. Usually it's like they've got the one character who shows up in every single game, and like that's how they tie it all together and make it a series.
Sure.
But other than that, I'm like, no, these are basically you're just making unrelated games, trying to tie them together.
Yeah, no, I think we should just call Trapped in a Soap Opera. We should just call that Cat President too, I think.
Yeah.
No reference to cats or politics.
I was gonna ask, have you read any of the Cat President sequel stuff yet?
Oh yeah, yeah. I started reading through it. It looks pretty good to me. Yeah. It's just a matter of getting it onto our schedule.
I put every single thing in Comic Sans for no particular reason.
Yeah, I did see that, and you're a monster. And I did change it in every single document.
Yeah, it's the font I normally use, Garamond, just does not have. It's not on my iPad. My iPad can't handle it, and so.
So you used Comic Sans.
And so I replace it with Comic Sans, yes. Okay, so that's enough silliness for now.
Yeah, I think that's about it for this episode of OWA Podcast. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefump, which is spelled exactly how it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam and itch.io, or just go to oarock.com, and it has the full list there. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud if you'd like. And if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Nope. I think that's it.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah, well, I mean, even with the main Cat President, I think we did a pretty good job. I've definitely seen complaints where people say this game's not going to be funny in 6 months, but I kind of think those people are wrong. Like, aside from Thunderpaw kind of obviously being a riff on Trump, I don't think most of the other characters are, like, really obviously supposed to be stand-ins for other politicians. Like, I think the stuff that happens in most of the stories is fairly unique or unique-sounding.
Or at least generic enough that is, like...
It's really funny, actually. Like, if you look on the comments of, like, a popular Let's Play for the game, you'll see everyone saying, like, oh my god, Kale is obviously Jeb Bush. Like, everyone will say, like, every character, they'll just pick a politician and say he's obviously that person. Like, you know, they'll say that for the same cat is obviously five different people. Like, it's so funny.
It's great, because Crusher is Jeb Bush.